broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for March 10th. In the year of our Lord, 2015, this is hour 2 of 2, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio. It's incredibly simple. We use the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, for the United States of America as our guide. We don't believe in revolution, ladies and gentlemen, but we do believe in restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth using the rule of law. The checks and balances put in place by the founders, inspired by the Almighty, absolutely brilliant. And the solution to the problems we face in America. Pure application of the principles that made America great at one time can do it again. Are you here to help? Welcome to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Kirk Crosby is with me. Hello, Kurt.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
The sad part is, Kurt, I'm not for laws forcing people to deal with the flag, and I'm not for laws rejecting the flag. Nevertheless, Old Glory is in the crosshairs, huh?
Yep. Well, you know, it's in a politically correct zone. We're talking about the ladies and gentlemen, the students at the University of California, Irvine. Now, is that somewhere close to where you lived, Sam? Was Irvine close by? Or
No. Well, 50 miles south.
I mean, closer.
So.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, where I grew
well, anyway,
up, yeah.
Down there, they've decided to remove and something that's pretty offensive from what they call their inclusive space. And their inclusive space is supposed to be this, well, it's just this kind and gentle, wonderful spot. And so, well, some students have voted to remove an evil item from this place. Yeah. And you mentioned the American flag, and that's exactly what they've removed. They've even sponsored a bill or something like that.
They probably put a condom in this place, Kurt.
Well, they didn't say that, but it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, because that's a sign of love and, you know, inclusion and caring and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, they say that this evil flag is, well, it's been a symbolism that of negative and, you know, colonialism and imperialism, etc., is what they say. And so, this anti-flag hanging bill, it talks about freedom of speech. But, of course, in this case, if somebody's speech meant that they wanted to have a flag, then, well, that kind of freedom we don't go for. But anyway, that's what's going on there. It's your government-sponsored, your taxpayer-funded UC Irvine.
Yeah, they call the flag, Kurt, especially the United States flag, a weapon of nationalism. I'm just going, what?
Yeah, that's right. I guess.
Kurt, they create sick, homogenized standards for conformity.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Well, yeah, because, you know, that's how this thing works. See, it's called newspeak, you know, and, for example, if you, Sam, are going to mention that, well, God said a certain thing, then, see, that kind of speech, you know, we just can't allow. Because, on the other hand, if we want to say that we can kill babies or, you know, that the earth is going to die because you... you know, or using gasoline.
Hey, I burp after Taco Tuesday, Kurt. That's what's happening.
That's right.
Yes,
then,
sir.
You know, that's all okay, and we got to get rid of you, Sam.
All right.
But if if they want to get rid of the flag, then that's not hate speech by them. See, that's
not
just a loving thing.
Yeah, it's inclusionary, Kurt. Come on.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's let Alan Phillips, I know he's a vaccine rights attorney, and we'll get into vaccines in mere seconds. However, do you want to defend Old Glory, sir?
Good morning to both of you. Pleasure to be here again, as always.
Thank you, sir.
Not, of course, my specific area of expertise legally, but I am, as a principal matter, for the broadest possible freedom of expression up to the point where that causes harm. You know, you can't post online detailed instructions on how to build a dirty nuclear bomb anymore, because people can potentially, you know, download that and
yeah, and you can't yell FIRE in a crowded theater either, right?
Right. I mean, people can disagree about the specific boundaries. You know, reasonable people can disagree about specific boundaries. So,
and by the way, that's okay to do.
Yes. Yes. And one, that's part of what makes us, or has made us in the past anyway, a great nation, where we've allowed the differences and we've protected minority views and so forth. And those are principles I think we need to hold to and restore. But as far as, you know, the flag means different things to different people, and it's used in different ways for different agendas in different times, positive or negative. And, you know, to try and classify it as only one, having only one meaning or one purpose or what have you would be, I think, an injustice.
Well, what they're doing is they're saying, look, it's a symbol of white, oppressionist, racist pigs, and therefore it's got to be taken down. See, I reject all that and say the American flag doesn't symbolize the white race. It doesn't symbolize some of the negative elements of the United States past, which we can all agree exist. Okay, but despite the mistakes America's made, despite our imperfections, the fact is we've provided more freedom to more people in the history of the world than any other country, bar none. And the principles that we stand for as Americans provide more freedom to more people than anyone. And so to me, it's kind of sad that they're trying to change what the symbol of America really stands for. And that's the reason that I reject it. I really could care less if a piece of cloth hangs up or not. What I do care about, though, is twisting the meaning and intent of the flag. It's to symbolize freedom for all. Okay, it's not meant to be an oppressionist agenda, et cetera, et cetera. It's a symbol of freedom. And I'm not, Orrin Hatch and others have tried to create flag amendments to support the flag everywhere. I'm just as off that as I am rejecting the flag. I guess what I'm saying is it seems like they want to just regulate everything, sir.
Well, I'm not familiar with the specific issues. I can't really comment on that, but I would say it means different things to different people. And I would say, you know, virtually any or all of those views are valid within whatever frame of reference any given view exists. And all those perceptions, short of one that would incite violence or, you know, have an immediate risk of some sort of inappropriate harm. But short of something like that, you know, that all views deserve to be presented, and people are free to listen or not to whatever views they want to do. But
at a university, dubbing the American flag as offensive and forcing it to take down by legislation is of concern in my mind.
Yeah, no, that's imposing one view on, you know, on others, and that's something I couldn't endorse.
It's kind of like the idea that, look, we're not going to have any religion in the space because religion forces someone to believe in a given religion, so we're not going to pray at a city council meeting or something. But what it means is those who don't believe in religion have their religion of choice chosen, which is the absence of religion. By the very idea of, quote, inclusion becomes very exclusionary by the nature. And so I'm not for forcing a given religion on somebody, but if people are free to pray and somebody doesn't like prayer, then they're free when it's their turn to say, we're not going to have a prayer today. I'm fine with that. But what I'm not fine with is saying, because I'm anti-religion, then I get to force my anti-religion views, and nobody can have any religious views based on their own agency or choice either. The problem is it kind of backfires, and the absence of religion becomes a religion in and of itself. This idea that we determine the American flag offensive, you can say that, but now you're perverting the whole intent of the flag. It was known for literally decades, for centuries, as the symbol of freedom around the world. And even people who weren't Americans loved the American flag for what it stood for, that there was a greater source than government for power. People had rights and protections. These principles are what are key. And that's kind of why we bring it up, is to basically say, hey, guys, you know what? Your willingness and ability to not practice any religion, we support by our very principles. Even though I may not agree with you, we support your right to do so, just like vaccinations. If you choose to vaccinate or not to vaccinate, I, as the American, say I believe in your agency. I believe you should have the choice to do as you will, and I'll back your choice. Even if I disagree with that choice, I'll back your ability to choose that choice.
Right. Sam, I think you articulate things very clearly and very well, and I'm just right with you every step of the way. Those last few comments there.
And the most important thing people need to understand is I'm not really trying to pick sides. I can have my own opinions, and I'm entitled to them, just as everyone is. What I'm saying, though, is that's the genius of America, though, folks, is we create the environment to which you can express your own opinion and hold to your own opinion and carry out your beliefs by your agency, by your choices, to your heart's content, so long as that you follow some general ground rules that mean you don't violate other people's freedoms in the process. My rights end where yours begin, etc., and vice versa. And so opinions, ideas, beliefs, and carrying out your own desires and the American dream for yourself is absolutely available. We need to make sure that remains intact. And the best way to do that is to, well, like I say, I even support your right to do and think and feel something that I disagree with, maybe, because that's the genius of America. Vaccine rights in seconds.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like their green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
What's so special about the Get Prepared Expo? Imagine having the opportunity to learn from some of the best preparedness and survival instructors available today. The faculty of USAPrepares.com. Imagine meeting your radio instructors all in one place. The last weekend in March. Imagine having lunch or dinner at a table with your instructors. And the cost? $10.80. Imagine having your favorite instructors autographing and personalizing your new books. Imagine buying Berkey water filters at deep discounts, the lowest price in the country. Imagine buying freeze-dried long-term storage food at the lowest price in the country. You don't have to imagine. This is real. It's at the Get Prepared Expo, the biggest and best preparedness expo there is, March 27, 28, and 29 in Lebanon, Missouri. One-day tickets are $8 on the website, getpreparedexpo.com. Getpreparedexpo.com.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Alan Phillips, attorney at law, our guest, ladies and gentlemen, his websites, vaccinerights.com and pandemicresponseproject.com. And I know whenever we get him on the radio, we always talk about another topic before we get to the topic of vaccinations. And I know poor Alan probably feels like I just drag him into all kinds of stuff he's not ready for. But there's a reason that I do it. And the reason that I do it is because Alan does not have to have the perfect answers. In other words, he doesn't have to have my answers. Okay? He's his own man with his own thoughts, with his own heart, with his own brain. And he can think through and come to the conclusions that he wants to. He can also learn and maybe change his opinions. I know people might not think so, but I can actually do the same. I can change my opinion. And maybe Alan Phillips has something that I haven't thought about. And that healthy dialogue and discourse among the American people is the genius of America, is the ability to influence and guide and train and educate and progress. And we all can do it. And a lot of the founders weren't even for the Constitution because they felt like, hey, man, the federal government will get too strong. And boy, were they correct. Nevertheless, they realized that this is the best effort we can put together. And we're going to have to trust in it and have faith in it and believe in it. And we're going to have to do it, even our misgivings aside. We're going to have to compromise and work together on this thing. And so they did. And that's, in my opinion, an absolutely brilliant pattern for us all to follow. Well, every item that I bring forward to Alan Phillips has to do with this principle of choice. Okay? You can believe in the flag or not believe in the flag. You can believe it's evil and it's just a bunch of white guys and their tyranny against women and any other race. Or you can believe that it's a symbol of American principles and ideologies that the world championed for literally centuries. Does America have some bad spots in its history? Absolutely. I'm not going to defend those. Slavery was wrong. It was evil, and it always has been and always will be. Got it? Anytime you subject one person to another, it's evil and wrong. Okay? That's clear. Nevertheless, Americans have provided more freedom for more races than anybody. Period. Even with our mistakes. All right, well, California students and the flag. They're calling it the offensive American flag. I submit to you the flag is not offensive. And the only answer is if we're not going to hang anything up in the public spaces at universities, then who wins? Those folks who want nothing hung up? No memorabilia? Nothing to remember our heritage and who we are and what we stand for and believe in as a country? Do you believe in the idea special privileges for none, equality for all? Do you believe in the idea that people should be able to worship how, where, or what they may? Or believe in what they want to? Do you believe people should have agency to choose or not to choose vaccinations? That's kind of the question today. Now, here's the point. Alan Phillips has a lot of legislative updates around the country regarding vaccinations. As you know, since the outbreak at Disney, there's been a lot of discussions about vaccinations to the point where parents will not even let their kids play with another kid if they're not vaccinated or if they are vaccinated. People are doubling down and, in my opinion, becoming very hateful if the choice isn't the one that they would make. They almost want to play judge, jury, and executioner against their neighbor because they don't come to the same conclusions. That's what we've got to have stopped. Okay, folks, people are doing their very best to come to the conclusions they think best. And what I want to do is update everyone on this legislation. And I don't care where you stand on this issue. What I want you to do is get involved. Okay, if you believe in vaccines, then by all means, push for appropriate guidelines on that. If you don't believe in them, fine. But what I really want is everyone to be able to choose as they will. I believe in choice. I'm pro-choice, except for when it comes to killing babies. Then I'm not pro-choice. I don't believe in pro-death, dubbed pro-choice as a deception. Okay, I support the protection of life, liberty, and property. And I do so across all fronts. And so the reason I bring this up to Alan is I want people to understand whether it's the flag or vaccines. The principle is the same. This is America. You can believe as you will, but let's not try to force your choice on others. I would never try to force someone not to be vaccinated. I might try to encourage them because I think it's bad for you. It's my opinion, to which I'm entitled, but I would never try to create some legislative agenda that said that you couldn't choose as you will. Alan, there's your starting point, sir.
Well, the first thing I'd like to say, Sam, is that the conversation, certainly in the mainstream media anyway, has been very one-sided. And really, I think we can sum it up in a somewhat benign way by simply saying that what's going on here in this with the measles issue in the last, what's it been, couple of months or more now, last several weeks, has really been a pharmaceutical marketing campaign. And what goes on in the discussion of vaccines and healthcare generally in this country is, at least again on the in the mainstream media, is not a discussion about health. It's a skewed discussion that is really ultimately, again, a pharmaceutical marketing campaign. And let me give you just a couple of facts because we could spend, you know, an hour or two going over just introductory comments. But the things you don't hear that come right out of mainstream medicine, mainstream government statistics and facts, but are critical parts of the conversation, are the fact, for example, that we have a national vaccine injury compensation program that for 25 years has paid out an average of more than $110 million a year because of people killed and injured, permanently disabled by the vaccine.
Now, that's a lot of safe and effective money, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the CDC says they're safe and effective, but the federal injury compensation program, in the last 5 years, that average, by the way, has doubled. It's been over $220 million a year for the last 5 years.
Well, and as you can see, the more vaccines they encourage us to take, the more vaccines on the market, the greater that number becomes. Isn't that an interesting correlation?
Yeah, and the fact is there are far more people killed and injured by the vaccines than by the diseases. Now, the pro-vaccine people will say...
Say that again.
There are far more people killed and injured by the vaccines than by the diseases. Measles in particular, there's been no deaths in the U.S. from measles in the last 10 years or more, according to the CDC. But there's a program called the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, and they've been reported more than 100 deaths from the MMR vaccine, just as, you know, one particular case in point.
And then every medical professional will tell you that those numbers are vastly underreported, too. They've got to admit that reality.
Well, those that understand what's going on, and there are multiple sources in and out of government, the FDA, the CDC, people from those agencies, but also people from the National Vaccine Information Center, a nonprofit grassroots organization, the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, have all estimated that only about 1 to 10% of serious vaccine adverse events ever even get reported. And this is despite the fact, Sam, that there's a federal law requiring doctors to report any serious injury or death following a vaccine. But they don't do it because there is profound pressure within that system to never speak ill of vaccines, if you'll pardon the word choice.
And just a generic idea, if we run around and say they're safe and effective, safe and effective, safe and effective, safe and effective so long, it's hard for a doctor to say, well, it wasn't safe and effective here. Of course they're safe and effective. It must have been something else. And so even the propaganda pitched at the highest levels to the mainstream makes it hard for doctors and other medical professionals to admit the reality in these situations, right?
And that's a really good point, Sam. I'm not trying to say doctors are bad or evil. Quite the opposite. I think the vast majority of doctors are people of integrity who want to do the right thing. The problem is they are taught that vaccines are safe. And so when the death or injury follows a vaccine, they probably genuinely believe it's not the vaccine. The problem is, of course, you can't make that determination from a generality and apply it to any specific case. The only way you can know in any specific case is if you conduct some sort of scientific investigation, you do some sort of...
And that's a case-by-case situation, very time-intensive and expensive and et cetera, They just choose not to do it because they basically capitulate to propaganda.
Well said, Sam. That's a perfect summary.
It's crazy. And I'm not downing the doctors. I think they unintentionally do so. I don't think they mean to. I just think they say, hey, the whole apparatus says that it's okay. I just don't want to go out on a limb and say that it's not. Why would I do that when they've already done the research? They've already done the... And it's that trust in that system that tends to betray us. Alan Phillips, our guest, ladies and gentlemen. There is legislative initiatives all across the country. We're going to talk about them. Most important key to preserve choice. This is Liberty Roundtable Live, vaccinerights.com, pandemicresponseproject.com. Our guest, Alan Phillips.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
A year ago, I was realizing that I was in serious problems with my heart. You know, I had these chest pains and so on. I realized that I had to do something and quick. I didn't want to go the medical route. So I started in doing some investigating, and somebody told me about these heart drops. I got on the heart drops prescribed dosage. Within 2 weeks, I immediately started seeing the results. This is working. I'm going to stick with it. I can't deny the fact that when I got on the heart drops initially, there was immediate help, an immediate turnaround.
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number's 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Alan Phillips, attorney at law, vaccinerights.com, pandemicresponseproject.com, our guest, and wisely articulating the reality that in America, it seems to be a propaganda campaign with regards of pro-vaccine ideology going on. And the sad part is the medical establishment doesn't buck the trend. They say the vaccines are safe and effective, but yet we have a compensation fund that literally pays out millions, literally millions and millions and millions of dollars on this idea that vaccines are safe and effective. But if so, why are we spending those millions? Because they're not as safe and effective as we believe. In fact, many times the disease doesn't kill people, but the vaccines do. And that's a very interesting tale to tell, but it is factual. And that's kind of the problem. And so whether the campaign is in the media or at the legislative table, sad to say, it seems to be very tilted towards the medical establishment pro-vaccine agenda. Isn't that what you're seeing legislatively across the country as well, Alan Phillips?
Yeah, so what has happened, Sam, following this measles propaganda campaign, and that's exactly what it is. They're talking about a little over 100 cases. I mean, last year we had over 400 cases of measles in the U.S., and nobody said anything about it. But this is a very deliberate and orchestrated campaign to create a wave of fear so that they can then go through states around the country, introduce bills, which is happening, to remove non-medical exemptions so that kids will not be able to go to school, even if their parents have religious objections or even if they have an awareness of the issue and want to make an informed decision to say no thank you to vaccines. I'll tell you, folks can go to my website, vaccinerights.com, and at the top left of the homepage is a link called, I remember exactly what it says here now, but it's talking about the legislative alert thing. Give me a second here.
While you're doing that really quick, just to make this very clear for everyone, understand that if vaccines are really safe and effective, Why would there be medical exemptions in the first place, Alan Phillips? There wouldn't need to be any of those, would there, sir?
Well, so the point for the medical exemption is that there's a small group of people who, because of some kind of medical...
Yeah, but not if they're safe and effective.
Well, we don't even have to look at just the medical exemption. I mean, if people are being permanently disabled and killed by the vaccines, they're obviously not safe and effective. The U.S. Supreme Court in 2011 said that vaccines are unavoidably unsafe. They're not merely unsafe, they're unavoidably unsafe. And ironically, that is why the vaccine manufacturers are free from liability for the death and disability caused by the vaccines. I mean, that's a huge, huge red flag in and of itself. The thing I was scrambling there a few seconds ago, an action alert at the top left, it's a bright red sentence and link there, and that takes people to information about a bullet point list that's just a bare introduction that we don't have time to cover here. But I wanted to just underscore a couple of other really quick facts, Sam, and then talk a little bit about the legislation if we can. The CDC has admitted that most outbreaks start in vaccinated children, and the reason is because vaccines don't work in everyone. The CDC has said 5 to 15% of vaccinated children don't get immunity from the vaccines as they define it, and the national median for exemptions is under 2%. It's about 1.8%. So there's five times more non-immune vaccinated kids than there are exempt kids. And so the point here is that if there's a problem because too many children are not immune, it's because the vaccines don't work good enough. So we don't need laws taking away the exemptions so that everybody, absolutely everyone, has to get vaccinated. We need laws requiring the manufacturers to make safer and more effective vaccines. That's where the problem here is.
So where do we go from here? The exemptions kind of fall into three categories, and I have an objection to these three categories in the first place. What if I just say I don't want to?
Well, and because of the controversy, and that if we want to try to be fair, we could say you can make arguments on both sides or many sides. You know, you should get no vaccines, you should get all the vaccines, you should get some vaccines, and you and I, of course, agree that you should have the choice, and any informed choice should be supported or allowed. And but there's these three different broad categories. Medical, if you have a medical condition that it makes it unsafe for you to get a vaccine.
Well, it would be safe for sure because they're safe and effective. So,
yeah, they're safe and effective except when they're not. But,
well,
but
and that's what I'm trying to highlight, though, to anybody who runs around and tells you they're safe and effective. My response is, what about the medical exemptions? Why do they have those? The answer is because they're not always safe and effective. It's the only answer you can come to, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, they even acknowledge that reality. It's impossible for them to worm their way out of that one. Trust me, go to a debate and say, what about the medical exemption? Why would you have those? Well, sometimes when somebody's pregnant, sometimes when somebody's aged, sometimes when somebody's immune system is compromised, then it's not really the best thing to give them vaccines. Why? Well, because it might not be safe. That's why. And they have to go there, don't they, Alan?
Of course.
And then we can say, well, if it's not safe in that case, what about another case where it's not safe? And then you start to open that barn door, see?
And this is the problem, Sam, because we can argue about statistics and what's not reported and what's reported and so forth, but even if we had crystal clear statistics, and we don't, but even if we did, nobody can tell you what the risk for you or your child specifically is. All anybody can do at this point in time is argue some sort of vague generality of, well, it's safe for most people and, you know, benefit of society. Your vaccine protects someone else, and that's why you have to get a vaccine.
And if it goes wrong, we'll fleece the taxpayers.
Exactly. Yeah, and, you know, the highest award that I'm aware of, Sam, and this was a single payout, was $61 million. Now, if you have, and this was for a child injured by vaccine, if you have a child whose injury requires a $61 million payout, there's no amount of money that is going to make that okay. You know, these are parents who will spend the rest of their lives, 25 hours a day, caring for this child. You know, there's no amount of money that makes up for a vaccine injury or death. And yet, somehow, we just kind of shrug it off as saying, and the law that created that program, Sam, has told the vaccine industry that they have to work on making safer vaccines, but they have no financial incentive to do that because they don't have any financial penalty for making unsafe vaccines. And this is why I say the laws need to not be taking away our right to choose, but they need to be holding the industry accountable because they have no incentive. They have no liabilities. There's no incentives for them to make safer or more effective vaccines if they can spend a lot less money lobbying for changes in the law that makes everybody be required to get the vaccines.
These three distinct categories I find interesting. What the law usually does, and I'm not an attorney, so you can provide more guidance here, but what the law usually does is try to pigeonhole things into categorized results where they can control the definitions and terms. And that's what the law does, and that's what lawyers do, is they divide and simplify and control the language thereof. And when you create these three categories, it almost means if you just don't want one by choice, that's not an option for you. You better pigeonhole into one of these categories. Then they try to tweak with those definitions and guidelines relating to those categories and or denying the category altogether, leaving you with no other options, right?
Yeah, and the three broad categories are medical, religious, and then personal or philosophical. And the personal or philosophical really amounts to say no for whatever reason, you know, without having to justify it. But what's going on in states around the country now, and a great place to get a real quick overview of this is the NVIC advocacy portal. And this is a website, and the web address is NV as in Victor, NVICadvocacy.org. NVICadvocacy.org, and they list right now 14 states that have legislation to either eliminate or restrict the non-medical exemptions. And real quick, what this boils down to is the law requires, the Constitution requires medical exemptions, but the way the Supreme Court or other courts have interpreted the Constitution at this point is that it doesn't require states to offer a religious or personal exemption. So this is a battle in the legislatures. It's not something we can make a legal argument to say, oh, no, the Constitution requires you to offer religious or philosophical exemptions, because at least the general consensus right now is that it does not. And so we've got to go in with facts and positions and so forth and try to persuade our legislators. But they're trying to do, Sam, things like just completely remove all of the non-medical exemptions, or in some cases they're just trying to restrict the religious exemptions. Now, the states that are trying to do that are crossing constitutional boundaries, because the way that the law defines religion for legal purposes is wonderfully broad. It doesn't matter, for example, whether you belong to an organized religion or not. Doesn't matter which one you belong to. If you do, if your personal religious beliefs are that it's against your religion to vaccinate, then you qualify for religious exemption if your state.
But let me explain. Once they define a category, though, then they can start adding and taking away lists that determine the scope of that designation. And I think that's where they're going to start to push. They're going to say, well, hey, if you're a Catholic and the Catholic Church doesn't say that they object to those things, then you can't really object either. They're not there yet, folks. The question for Alan Phillips, is that where they're going to go? What are they going to do legislatively? We'll talk about it in seconds. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Vaccine rights attorney Alan Phillips, our guest riding shotgun today. VaccineRights.com, PandemicResponseProject.com. So I was saying legislatively, they're pushing to restrict exemptions, ladies and gentlemen. They're going to say religiously, right now, if you just have a personal belief that, hey, I think it's against my religion, or you kind of mix the philosophical idea and the religious idea together a little bit. But they're going to eventually restrict this and say, hey, man, if you're a Catholic and the Catholic Church doesn't come out and say that, then, you know, doesn't apply to you. I don't know where they're going to go, but they're going to restrict the exemptions, aren't they?
Well, first of all, there is a very clear line legally between philosophical and religious exemptions, even though under the Constitution, as the federal courts have interpreted the First Amendment, the free exercise of religion, it's really broad in the sense that it doesn't require church membership, for example, but it still has to meet specific parameters that distinguish religious and philosophical or other non-religious beliefs. But having said that, there are bills now in at least three different states where they want to restrict it to the vaccine religious exemption to membership in an organized religion with tenets opposed to vaccines. And there have been at least four or five court cases around the country in the last, three decades or so, where those kinds of laws have been challenged and been found to be and held by the courts to be unconstitutional. And there are still a few states in the country that have those kinds of laws, Kansas, South Dakota, South Carolina come to mind that I know off the top of my head. They just haven't been challenged yet in court, but every other state where those kinds of laws have been challenged, they've been held to be unconstitutional. And so we have states now trying to pass laws to restrict religious exemptions, and off the top of my head, I know Illinois and Texas and New Mexico have bills with language trying to unconstitutionally restrict access to religious exemptions. All of this, of course, aimed at having more people get vaccinated and parents having fewer choices about whether or not to refuse vaccines for their kids.
They're also working on restricting this philosophical idea, too. At some point, they're instead of me just saying I have a philosophical, it's against my belief system, and not having to explain or give details, at some point they're going to try to shift the burden of proof to me more that it can be a justifiable philosophical objection, a conscientious objection. Aren't they going to try to raise the bar there too?
Well, at least three states have already done that. All three of the West Coast states currently have laws where you have to get some sort of education before you can get the philosophical exemption. Of course, what that really means is they want to try and talk you out of the exemption by telling you what a horrible parent you are for you know, not getting vaccines, you're putting your child and everyone at risk. The problem, of course, once again, is that this is a marketing campaign that tells you an incomplete story. They don't mention anything about the you know, death and disability caused by the vaccines and many other points that we could throw in there. It's a very one-sided picture.
Let me see if this example helps. I might say, because I don't believe they're safe and effective, folks, then they would come back and say, lies. Who are you? You don't have authority. You don't have, you're not a physician. You don't even have qualifications to make that kind of a statement. They've been deemed safe and effective by the ADA, and that's the American Disabilities Organization, the FDA, that's the Food and Drug Administration, the physicians, and they'll go, the World Health Organization, the WTO, and they'll say, you know what, you don't even have a leg to stand on, Sam. Therefore, your conscientious objection doesn't hold any water. Never mind that I can point to other sides of that discussion. They'll simply just bully me into shutdown over this idea, claiming that I don't even have any authority to make that kind of a belief or a statement doesn't hold water. That's the kind of stuff they're going to do, right?
Well, no, they're just trying to remove the philosophical or conscientious personal exemption altogether. They're, you know, the point of the personal belief is that you don't have to justify it. So what they're doing now in states around the country is the states that have that option, they're trying to just take that away. But the problem, this sort of middle ground where what the West Coast, Coast states have done, and there's some other ones now that are trying to do this legislatively to follow that example, is all of this is, you know, the debate you were suggesting there of, you know, who's right or who has, you know, what information and so forth, all of that is kind of a moot point when you look at this from a constitutional perspective. We have in this country a constitutional right to parent our children. Now, this is not spelled out in the Constitution, but it's the Supreme Court in a series of cases over about the last 100 years or so has spelled it out in legal precedent, in the court cases, that it's the 14th Amendment Due Process Clause, that one of the applications of that clause is that parents are presumed to make decisions that are in their children's best interests. And the only time that the state can lawfully interfere or intervene in that parenting right and responsibility is if there's a showing of some sort of, and this would potentially be, but not necessarily restricted to, evidence presented in court.
And this is the hole they want to drive a truck through.
Well, they're just rolling right over this, ignoring it, and passing laws that, in my opinion, violate our constitutional rights.
Well, they're going to say, hey, you know what? Vaccines are safe and effective, Alan, and you're just flat-out negligent because you don't know enough. You're ignorant. You're subject to fear-mongering on this issue. And because you don't know, you're putting your children at risk. And therefore, we must intercede for the safety of your children, Alan.
But here's the point constitutionally, Sam. The Supreme Court has said you as a parent have the right and responsibility to parent your child, and you are presumed to be making decisions in your child's best interest unless there's a showing that you are unfit. So the state, effectively, by passing a law saying you have to get an education before you can exercise the exemption, every parent has to do that, the state is effectively declaring every one of those parents to be unfit. And this is constitutionally a violation. They have to do this on a case-by-case basis and have information showing evidence for each individual parent to say that, okay, we have the evidence that you are unfit, so now you may not make decisions for your child. But when the state does that for all parents in the state at once by passing a law, they are violating the parents' constitutional rights. They're making a presumption that the parents are unfit, and that violates the 14th Amendment Due Process Clause. So I think these laws are unconstitutional, and we need to either get the legislatures to fix that or perhaps challenge some of these laws in court and get the courts to fix it. Potentially could be fixed either way.
And the 14th Amendment becomes a rabbit hole in and of itself because my right to parent predates the 14th Amendment, just so everybody understands the truth here. But I want to point this out, though. We need to fight legislatively. It's good to fight in the courts if we have to, but we really ought to deal with it appropriately before we ever even get there.
I am a big fan of legislative activism, and I think most of these vaccine issues are really not suitable issues for a court. Sometimes there are some clear issues, but I tell you, Sam, when I've looked over recent years' history of people trying to fight some of the broader issues with vaccines, you know, I have a right to decide what to put in my body. Well, you certainly should have a right, but guess what? In this country, you don't, and we should be very concerned about that. So when people have tried to fight that in court, they lose. Well, that's something we need to fix legislatively. We need a law passed saying from now on, you do have a right to decide what to put in your body or your children's bodies
And that's the end of the discussion.
And they say the reason you lose is because the horse has already left the barn. And that's kind of the deal when it's legislatively, because, hey, the courts interpret the law, and where we really need to control it is when we make the law or the absence thereof in the first place, right?
I agree. Absolutely.
All right. What can the average American do, though? Most Americans, though, I know they want to say we're lazy, we're apathetic, we don't care. I don't believe any of those things are true, Alan. I think people do care. I think people want to be involved, but I think people just feel like whatever they do won't make a difference anyway. They're only one. They don't have money. They don't have time. They don't have the wherewithal. They don't have the knowledge. They just don't know what to do. And politicians wonder why we have such a low approval rating for them. Well, I think it's pretty obvious. But nevertheless, I believe what we need to do is provide guidance and an outlet for Americans before we claim them incompetent and not caring. I think that we need to provide leadership, provide guidance. They want to be involved, but they don't have all day to work on it. They got a family to support. It takes two incomes to make a living now with the out-of-control taxation. What do people do, Alan?
Well, there's two really big aspects to this, and you're absolutely right. A lot of people want to do something they don't know what to do, or they'll do the only thing they know to do, and often that's not effective. But in this issue in particular, vaccines, a lot of people are really afraid to speak out. And I heard someone say last night on one of my weekly radio shows that I have on Monday and Tuesday nights, made a really good point. They said, if you're afraid to speak out, you should be more afraid not to speak out. Because if we don't speak out at this point, it's only going to get worse and be even harder to speak out later. But there are some things we can do to be legislatively involved that don't take a lot of time, and there are some very simple general principles that you can learn to be effective with what you do. And I would refer people to two different sources with respect to the issues going on around the country. There are at least 14 states that have already introduced legislation that is moving forward to restrict or remove exemptions. This is going to happen in many more states, Sam. So if it's not happening in your particular state, it will. So now is the time to be active, whether or not there's a bill, because there will be soon if there isn't, very likely, everywhere in the country. So people can go to NVICAdvocacy.org, NVICAdvocacy.org, and they can go to my website, vaccinerights.com, and I have an action alert link in red at the top of my homepage, and that takes people to a page where I've got information about what you can do and how to do it, and here's information you can give your legislators. I've put it all together. It's a default plan that you can use as is, but you're certainly free to vary it or add to it in any way that works for you and in your particular situation as well. I am available to work with people legislatively or even talk to their legislators or health committees if that's appropriate and they want me to do that. So,
Alan Phillips, ladies and gentlemen, he's an attorney at law, vaccinerights.com and pandemicresponseproject.com. We sure appreciate his guidance, his involvement, and his desire for solutions. Alan, thank you, sir.
You're welcome, Sam. Thank you.
There he goes. Always doing a great job. We appreciate him. We don't even always agree on everything, folks, but we agree on the most important things. And that's what America's all about, ladies and gentlemen, the ability to disagree but be agreeable and the ability to work together. Isn't that key? We can restore America. You're going to help? This nation shall endure. LibertyRoundtable.com.